thank you for joining us for Beat Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something and where we cover your pop culture landscape through our geek lens. I am Ms. Shannon, and we are kind of broadcasting live from the Twin Cities Film Fest studio. So that means that, of course, my podcasting work husband, Jayton Satia, our executive director, is right next to me. Hey, Jay.
Hey, hey, we're at the AC Marriott, our official hotel. So we are tangibly here at the Twin Cities Film Fest studio.
Exactly, because the Twin Cities Film Fest studio, first of all, is in our heart as much as it is an actual location. So that's kind of like...
You're going way too esoteric. Oh,
my God. Just stop. Know what? You know, I don't think that you should be surprised because we are broadcasting today in the midst of the 2019 Twin Cities Film Fest. It has been going full swing. We are at day 7.
Day 8. I'm counting.
How many days total?
11.
Copy that.
All right.
It ends on Saturday, so you guys do the math.
You're back almost there.
That's enough.
You're
almost
gonna make it.
And you know what? I appreciate that. Who was that just talked? Our guests are the ones that are actually giving you the business as well. I appreciate it that it's not just me. Because one of the best things about having the executive director of the Twin Cities Film Fest be one of your best friends and your podcasting husband is that that means that he brings cool people onto our podcast. So, Jayton?
Yes, I brought two cool people.
Yes.
The film is called 3-Day Weekend, and we have the director, Wyatt. Wyatt, what's your last name? Sorry.
Wyatt McDill.
McDill. I couldn't pronounce it earlier. It was like McDill. Like it was in the most.
that sounds like the worst high school bullying attempt ever.
In the most respectful way.
Of course.
I try to pronounce names all the time just so I can get it right in front of the audience.
Did he do it in a respectful way?
I couldn't finish it.
So my staff corrected me. So thank you.
Yeah.
And then we have Justin Kirk. And I think I said
that
right.
That's Justin K.
Should I have said K? Do you get that a lot?
No. Usually people get Kirk right. Yeah. I got a lot of problems, but pronouncing my name is not one of them.
Justin is the executive producer on the film.
That's right.
Which I think is fantastic because, Justin, is this the first time that you've executive produced?
Oh, to say the least.
Oh, funny, because when you look at your Wikipedia page, of course, it has a million accolades on it. He's one of those people that I don't want to print it out because I like trees. So you don't want to sit there and go, how many movies did he do versus how many shows has he been on? And that doesn't really add up to being kind to the environment if I print everything out.
That's right.
So what is it like, gentlemen? You know, and so Wyatt, is this the first film that you've directed?
It is not,
okay,
no.
See, so you are a great way for Justin to get involved in being a student.
Yeah,
that's great.
This is my second feature, and I also directed 3 shorts. I've directed music videos and TV
stuff. And you've directed 3. We've done another whole feature film since this one.
Yeah.
It's in the can.
Saving something for next year, though.
Please do.
Right, exactly.
You know, we've got another film, ready to go next year.
Fancy.
So I've been a director my whole life, and I've gotten to work with this guy for, you know, how many, over 10 years we've been working together. And we've known each other for
about
even longer than 10 years.
10 plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been involved with all the movies, but usually I've been an actron.
Mm-hmm.
And this time not.
Wyatt, how is, we'll talk about 3-Day Weekend in a second. Mm-hmm. How is Justin on set as an actor?
I just wish I could think of something good to say about that.
I wish you could, too.
This is awkward.
After 10-plus years, for God's sake,
we should have given you a list of the questions beforehand.
Just keep hiring him so that he keeps trying to do something better every time.
Well,
yeah, he's. I mean, I've told him this, too, so
well,
it's
tell
this
the world.
Flattering. But he's amazing. He's an amazing actor, as everyone knows. He's like one of the prime actors of his generation. I really believe that.
Yay.
I'd agree.
Then also on the set, he's such a professional, not just shows up on time, and he knows that he's the number one on the call sheet, and he sets the tone for the movie. So it's a joy to work with him, and at other times when I have not gotten to work with him, I'm like, oh, I wish I was working with Justin again, because he brings a tone that, you know, everybody follows, and it just makes it a lot easier to make a film, which is very difficult to make.
Yeah, so the follow-up question to Justin. Justin, based on what just gave you, the best compliment that a director can give an actor and, of course, a friend, where does that work ethic, where does that, you know, respect for the art of filmmaking come from your
background? I like to be there, and I don't have time for people who don't. You know, when you get to make a movie or be on TV or in theater or something, you've kind of won the lottery. I mean, it's a very privileged place to be. And anyone who doesn't show up in the morning, happy to be there.
No, and how long have you been in the industry then, like at least acting and or
yeah, me?
Yeah.
Let's see. Gosh, a long time. Okay. Yeah. Heck of a long time.
Prefer not to say.
Well, no, I mean, as long as I can. I mean, I don't know. Wonderful. I mean, I guess I had a job at a hotel. But, but yes, decades.
Decades.
Let's say decades.
So then that helps me pivot into this question. So we'll start with you, Wyatt. So Wyatt McDilla, who you've done a variety of different projects. If we were going to put them all in a hat, what is your favorite? Features, music videos, or shorts?
That I've made?
Yes.
Let's see here.
Do you mean of those? She doesn't mean which one of them. She means
you don't have
you
to
like
pick which child.
Oh, which?
Of those but
kinds,
what of the what of the genres, yeah, we'll yeah call them, do you enjoy most?
There's things about each of them that I enjoy in a different way. I mean, a film takes a year or two or three to make.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a backbeat in your life. And you get to take all this time to write the script. And then you get to take all this time to, like, film it and cut it. And that's a whole different process. Writing is a solitary process. And I like that. But then when you come together, you get the chemistry of all the different people and, oh, this person's nuts and all this person's a pro and right, you got to sort of figure out how to get them all to work together. And, you know, I'm also a cook. I love to cook. And it's kind of like cooking, you know. You can put everything together in the exact same way 10 times in a row and you always get something different depending on the weather or the moods or the ingredients. So I like that chemistry that happens on the set. And then afterwards, you know, I like the control you have, frankly, of the edit and the sound mix and the color correction where you can just dial in your exact vision for what it was.
Do you ever get to your exact vision? Because I'm around directors, producers, editors all the time, and one of the key things that I keep hearing is, like, we're never really finished editing. You have
you
to
just
pause.
Have to stop.
You have to stop. You have to actually let the child go on. Do you struggle with that as you're editing, or do you kind of know exactly what you want and you get it and then you move on?
I think that I always know exactly what I want, but you do have to stay open to, like, well, that's not what I wanted. And I work with a guy named Carlos Lamas as our editor. He edited 3-Day Weekend, and I really appreciate his vision. You know, he has different ideas from what I have. You know, I'll say, well, I think this has to be over here. And he'll say, why? And then I'll say, I guess I don't know why.
Sure.
So you do get like.
Yeah, once you get on set, it kind of takes it over. Like the
yeah
set, the location, the
definitely
camaraderie between the actors.
Yeah. And, you know, I make all of my films with my wife, Megan Huber. And so she lines up a lot of the things and makes the whole thing happen. So I'm lucky in that respect. But then once everything's together, like I've said before, it's sort of like serving a 6-course meal on the deck of a pitching ship in a thunderstorm, you know. It's just, it's crazy. You have no control over the weather and the locations and who's showing up, and the costumes are different than you thought they were going to be. And, you know, you have to mix all that together. And usually at my age, you're just physically at your limit by the time you're done shooting. So
before we move on to our companion question to Justin, we'll say shout out to your wife, Megan, who's
hi,
also
Megan
here in the room.
Yeah.
So hi, Megan.
She just
Megan. Ah, there we go.
Megan, if you get bored watching, we can pull out a microphone for you. You can be on the podcast as well, because it sounds like you do keep the ship in the water is what it sounds like. So thank you for doing that.
That's
so
for sure.
My companion question then for you, Justin, is you, since you have done, we'll give you again a choice of three. So if you're doing stage, TV, or feature films, what is your favorite of the three?
Yeah, well, they all have their, you know, their pros and cons. Doing a play is cool because you're in the room with the people that are watching it. But boy, it's a hell of a, it's a grind.
It's a grind, right?
But, you know, movies and TV, you got to get up at 4 a.m, so that's its own kind of grind. Not every day, but sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're lucky, then you get to have a little sort of sprinkling of each in your life.
Well, you definitely seem to have been able to.
I have. I have. I keep doing theater for some. Yeah, I do.
Keeps calling
said for
me
some
back
reason.
Once you do theater,
I
you
even did
back
a play here, although that's like 15 years ago, at the Jungle Theater.
Oh, love the Jungle, though.
Yeah, great theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably go back to New York and do a play, I would say, every 2 or 3 years. In terms of movies and TV, you know, I've never been on a multicam. You know what that is? Which is like a that's when you watch a television show and you hear people laughing. That means it's a multicam.
Right.
It's like the Friends.
Right. Exactly. Yes. I've never even done an episode of one. I'd be interested. But otherwise, when you
are there many right now though?
There's a few out there. Yeah. Okay. I have my friend is doing one right now. Actually,
which one? And this is a fair question. The reason we ask is that one of the things you learn about Jayton Satya and I is that we are very particular geeks, and we have talked about this on previous episodes. We are terrible, no offense, at watching television. We were talking about it. So we started a thing on our show called Pass the Password so that we even would start streaming series on a regular basis.
Right.
Because there's things that we know that we would love
that
we just don't seem to get to. That we know have all of the components.
I'm not recommending any multicams for you to look at. I'm just telling you that is a thing
that we
exists.
Could do. If you get spare time,
right.
You could pop into
no,
these.
No,
but I don't
I think
have
there's probably
one in
other
mind.
Things. Well, it's also a world, especially in television right now, that it's just there's just so damn much of it. Like
right.
Things I've never seen Game of Thrones, but I understand that's
there's
a,
whole
that's
streaming
a popular,
platforms I've never
a popular
seen.
Program.
Yeah. And there's going to be more streaming. Streaming platforms,
yeah.
You know, kind of
it's
thing.
It's overwhelming. It's a new age of TV.
Yeah. Question to Wyatt around shooting in Minnesota. You shot the film in Park Rapids.
Yes, we did.
Let's talk a little bit about shooting here, the location scouting, and then, of course, let's talk about the context behind the script as well.
Well, we made a film 10 years ago with this guy and with my wife called Four Boxes. And after that, it was so difficult. I said, we got to do something easier. So I wrote a script that could be easily filmed. It's just four people running around in the woods, and it's a puzzle. And you shoot it by a remote lake in the woods. So you think, oh, that's going to be really easy.
Sure.
But
because it's nature.
Yeah.
Cooperates.
And we're in Minnesota.
But I feel like nature does not help with, you know, if you want noise bleed problems, go in nature.
Yeah.
That's what
exactly,
you do.
Yeah.
Why was Four Boxes difficult?
Because now we know that filmmaking is just difficult.
Right.
We thought, oh, gotcha. This can't possibly be the case every time.
It's theater, but you just put a camera on it.
Yeah.
Come on.
But so we thought here in the land of 15,000 lakes, Minnesota, we would be able to find a lake with some woods easily. So check that box. Mm-hmm. We spent all summer trying to find
the
a
right
lake we could shoot at. Because within this story, it's supposed to be a remote lake far away from any roads. Well, it turns out all the good lakes in Minnesota have cabins and mansions and boats
and docks and everything about it.
And so that nixed just about 95% of all the lakes. And then the lakes that have nothing on them, they're kind of green and they're more like ponds and they're swampy
very,
and they're hard to get a crew next to and the bugs are bad.
Jeez,
so my wife actually found this place that is a Boy Scout camp. And you know, it's with the scouts all go home in the summer, so we were going to be shooting in the fall anyway. And it's this big, beautiful lake, and so we got that location, and that's why we ended up in Park Rapids. No other reason. But you know, I get crazy when I see the shots of the lake. It's so beautiful in the movie. Like we can look in every direction, and there's nothing on the lake. It's so incredible.
That's because they're trying to make the Boy Scouts know what it's like to be in nature. So they're like, you know, at least preserve this a bit.
Yeah,
don't make it look like a playground.
They do a great they do a great job. So
what's the film about? Let's talk a little bit more about the script itself.
It's a puzzle. Like I, you know, you do these things, you do them for so long, you have to do something you love. So I love puzzles, and I just made a movie that I would want to watch. And so it's a complicated movie. It's kind of a dense, kind of a party game of a movie. I compare it to like a crossword puzzle or an escape room. Like, we want people to watch it and spend the whole time trying to figure out what's going on.
So how difficult is this puzzle? Is it like a difficult Sudoku type thing? Or is it like, could I figure it out? Or I'm probably lost until the end.
I think we'd be remiss if we made it just too hard to figure out.
Okay, fair
but
enough.
I wanted it to be balanced on that point where you're definitely challenged by it, and you got to talk to your friends after you watch it and say, so what exactly happened? You know, that's the thing we're going for. Is people get online after they watch it or they talk with their friends and they say, I think I got it, but I need to talk it out a little bit. So that was the kind of balance we were looking
and
for.
And I appreciate that you say that up front, because I do think that there's some movies, at least Jayton and I have done this before, we're like, what were they going for?
Right.
Like, what were they trying to do?
More often than not.
I'm exactly.
Like, yeah.
What was the intent here?
Right.
Justin, what made you, and I know you guys have worked together before, but beyond that, what about this script that was intriguing to you to come in on executive producer?
Well, you know, I just believe in Wyatt and Megan's work, and having acted with them, and there's nothing better than working with friends. Right. I've worked with other friends besides them, even, and it's a beautiful thing. But I would never do it if I didn't think that they were right. There was a reason to. I would never act as a favor.
No,
and so
that has the potential to ruin your friendship also, though, so that's fair.
Well, that's true, and mm-hmm. Don't think I didn't think about that occasionally. Before we headed in, likewise. I was like,
this might be tense.
We may not survive on the other end of this. Yeah, but boy, every time I actually liked them more by the end, and then that faded away. And I just,
now you're back to a reasonable amount of life.
Yeah, so I was game to go either way, and I knew all the things that Wyatt just said about the kinds of movies he makes and the scripts that he writes, which it's an interesting way to find your way into them, and I knew that's the kind of movie they would make, and so I just pretty much said I'm
okay, Justin. And this is not. I don't want this to sound like a dig. I ask this question all the time whenever I talk to an executive.
That starts like that.
I know people say the same thing to me, like, "Please don't be offended," and I know that they're going to say something offended. But I am curious, as the layperson at the table.
Uh huh.
And Jayton hates when I talk. I ask these questions because he knows better than I do. I feel like I have a good, as a layperson, I have a good grasp of what the actors do. I have a good grasp of what the directors do. I have a less solid grasp of what an executive producer does in the process. It sounds like Megan did most of the work, is what I'm saying. So I wanted to
know. She usually does.
Yeah. So what does an executive producer, what's your role when you're doing a film?
Well, I think that, if I can.
Please,
jump in.
I'd like you to answer for me. I've already forgotten.
I think the executive producer is a really cool role in the film industry because it means all different kinds of things.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
On every project, it has a different sort of meaning because it's the top. It's like the king on the chessboard. And, it's the most important job. And it's the job you can't do without.
Right.
But it's always different. And
they're essentially putting the puzzles together.
Yeah.
You know, if you're thinking about it from the context of your film, you're looking at it from a 10,000-foot level. You're looking at it from distribution side. You're looking at it from production side and pre-production side. And you're just there. Again, maybe I'm just...
All that.
Yeah. And you're just there to essentially be available for mm-hmm. any catastrophe that may happen. Oh, you know, we have plenty of indie filmmakers who say, oh, my goodness, we lost our location because of whatever.
Yeah.
Typically, we go to our executive producers or producing team to be like, how can we make this happen in the next 12 hours? And ideally, they're in place for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go, give me 2 minutes, and then they make some calls, and then it happens.
Yeah. And Justin is, like, key because he, you know, he knows how Hollywood works. And
do I.
And it's really, like, an amazing resource to have to be like, oh, you know, how should we proceed on this at this step? So...
Well, we're very happy that 3-Day Weekend is part of the Twin Cities Film Fest. What's your next steps with this film?
Well, this is where we get Megan to come over and join in. No, it's the distribution landscape. You can't really ever learn anything about it because by the time you've made another film, which takes a few years, you come back, you're like, okay, I think I got a lock on how you distribute a film. And the whole landscape has changed again. So... I think we're just heading into it, but we've been talking to a lot of people, and a lot of people are interested in the movie, and we're just doing what everyone who's an artist in the world is doing right now, which is weighing, like, to what degree do I give it away, and to what degree do I make demands for cash?
Right. Upfront versus residuals versus international versus demand. Like, it's
putting it on demand away.
But we're excited about the film because the film, you know, it is this puzzle, and it will, like, accumulate word of mouth among people who like this kind of complicated storytelling.
So there's definitely an audience for it, right? There's definitely an audience out there, just in your mainstream audience, that likes that kind of mind-bending stories. And I think, again, I've seen the film, so it's a lot. I love the four characters. Great job on casting, by the way.
Thank you. Our casting person in L.A. is amazing.
They all seem very authentic, and they all are truly confused in the film,
yeah.
which makes the audience be part of the story with them.
Good, that's what
so
we're going for.
So I think there's definitely an audience for it. And
we do talk about when you're looking for that audience as well. And since so much of what we talk about on BR Geek are these, because we are both comic book fans, we do like all these big budgets, but yeah. we also, as fans of films, go, but do we want those properties to take up so many screens and make it so difficult to find something like 3-Day Weekend?
I think that's kind of what's wrong with our world right now. You know, there's in old movies, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you saw movies about real people and their real lives, and it was a way to, like, understand people that were different from you.
Right.
It served a cultural purpose that's not in the equation now. And
those are still there. They're just not in the movie theaters.
Right.
True. Right? I mean,
that's
it's just
true.
Different places to find them.
That's true.
Usually in your living
TV.
Room.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's
yeah.
one of the reasons we have thrived in the film festival industries, because back in the day, film festivals were when you went to go watch new content. Back
yeah.
in the day. Now you're going to festivals to kind of go through the curation process. We've already done the curation for you. Mm-hmm. This is the best of the best. So you don't have to worry about streaming something for 45 minutes and not
yeah.
finding something
yeah.
online.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is where we kind of take pride in. You come to a festival and you're able to find these gems.
Yeah.
An ideal scenario, we promote after your distribution deal is done, where you can now find it on your home or on your tablets or on
Hence
your phones.
Our nosy question, because we do want
yeah.
to make sure that all of our filmmakers and our short filmmakers and our documentarians, everyone, they're we can get more eyes on your property. Because, again, don't get me wrong. If Disney throws out a movie, Jayden and I are going to go see it.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like we know that their time is valuable and precious.
Mm-hmm.
So we also want to make sure that we can go, well, here's what we'll vouch for. We talk to these people. You should go see this film.
Yeah.
Use the time that you have.
I think that's a great idea. Some kind of curating service for TV shows. Like, I would buy that. You know, like, tell me what to watch.
Let's talk later. Megan will talk to you about it later.
A funny thing, actually, is, like, when I'm alone in the house, like, I will get on Netflix, but not watch anything. I just
sure.
scroll. Am I
you
the
just
only person
down a rabbit
that does
hole
that?
Mean
your,
to watch something
is that
you
your
don't.
Intent?
This
intent
is almost my
is
intent. I'm like, I'm probably pretty sure I'm not going to find anything I want to watch. I just like to
the rabbit hole
scroll.
Of where will this lead me?
Well,
yeah.
you're married,
maybe
so you
I'll
don't have
see
commitment
something.
Issues. That's not it. Why are you avoiding all of these things?
Falls asleep. We're getting older.
Yeah, this is only 5 minutes, and then it's over.
Why did you mention cooking? Mm-hmm. Since our show is all about being a geek, so obviously you guys are film geeks, but what else do you geek out about?
Yes, Wyatt.
Let's see. I think, like we were saying earlier, I'm pretty much an athlete.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
We were kidding.
I didn't think you were.
Well, I'll tell you, this year was a very special time for us as Minnesotans who now live in Los Angeles.
Why is that?
Because our baseball team was good again.
That's
and
right.
And I don't believe that adults should watch sports. For the most part. And then all of a sudden the Twins were good again this year, and it became a whole thing. And I swear to God, I gave about 4 hours of every day to the Minnesota Twins this
wow.
year. It was a beautiful,
I'm glad
beautiful
that you
season.
That. So I
got
I
the little cable package, and we
watched
a few
Yankees.
Together.
I, you
well,
know what?
We were
I
just
was
talking about this. It was still
Yankees.
A great season,
it was
despite,
great season.
Despite those three games.
So my previous radio station I worked on, we broadcast the Minnesota Twins games. And so our radio station was across from Target Field. Which is a great ballpark,
yes.
don't be wrong. But when the Twins were doing poorly, you could just feel the sadness waft
right.
across the street at us. So I agree, as
what
someone who lives here.
That?
Before, that was when it was on Go 96.3.
Right.
Yes. And so we would play our indie pop music around the Twins. It was
yeah.
an odd mix.
That's
but
funny.
It was nice to be able to wander over to the ballpark because
yeah.
it's a great ballpark. But,
yeah.
you know, I've lived here long enough that I don't like watching Minnesotans be sad either. And so it's so much. And I happened to be on vacation in New York when we were playing New York. And
right.
I was just like, okay, this is not the time to be overly proud about being a Minnesotan.
I went to Tribeca Film Festival and just for curation purposes, and there happened to be a Yankees Twins game at the Yankee Stadium, and I went and Twins won, so I'm like,
that series in the middle of the
yes.
season, that was a good
yeah,
series,
so, it was
a
great,
yeah.
so that
yeah.
gave me hope when we
yeah,
were going to play
right,
the Yankees
right,
and
right,
then
right.
it happened. So
yeah.
okay, so sports, even though we're
no, not
sports,
not at all actually. You know what I'm actually a geek for, less and less as it is the radio.
Oh.
Yep.
That's true. Yeah. Well, my current station that I probably listen most is a college radio station in Los Angeles called KXLU. But I'd say probably this one that I listen to the second most, except for satellite radio, is The Current.
Love The Current.
Now you can stream the damn thing wherever in the world you might happen to be.
And it is curated very well. And it's, you know, it's again, back to what we were saying about how the industry and media has changed so much. As someone that's been in radio for a million years, that's one of the things that I miss, is that it is hard to find that hybrid and that farm team for radio.
Yeah.
So you can find bits and pieces of it as college radio stations, but finding a gem that's like The Current in other markets is difficult to find.
Minneapolis was one of actually the last cities that had great terrestrial radio in our youth. KJO 104, right? What was that showing my age?
Rev 105,
that's right.
Yep.
So there's that.
Nice.
When I was young, I could name, you would name a major American city, and I could tell you several stations in each city. I could probably still do that to a certain degree.
Justin has got an encyclopedic knowledge of
about
everything
all
culture.
The wrong things.
No. There's no such thing as wrong
there's
thing.
There's a Pollock Museum in St. Louis Park. Have you been there? It's a
radio museum is here. We love it. Yeah. So we'll have to make sure we give you that. Yes. We'll give you that list. And then I have some friends that I'll have to connect you to on social media because they are also radio geeks, and they have like decades and decades of old air checks and things, just, you know, that you could listen to that are, to me, fascinating.
Right.
That's not my particular initial fandom, so I'm not going to go start collecting them. And I have those friends that I can go, help me go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've known Justin since I was 12. And when I met him, even he would play me these tapes, these cassette tapes.
This is a lie.
of him calling into radio stations.
Maybe once.
tape after tape.
So, what do you geek out about?
I mean, cooking is a big one for me. And
like, are we going to see you on MasterChef eventually? Like, are you going to think, would you like to be on one of those?
Do you like
those
competition shows?
I don't like those shows. Oh. I kind of like to watch. I like to watch people cook.
Is it
too early to
even sort of tease your new show?
Well, yeah. I mean,
I know it's too early, but
you could. We've shot a pilot for a cooking show, actually, in Park Rapids.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I have enough interest in cooking and media to try to get a cooking show going, just because I'm like, everybody's got a cooking show. Everybody's on a cooking show. I want a cooking show.
They're either on a cooking show or they're on a show where they just go and eat other people's food. There are a lot of those.
Yeah.
So what kind of, can you tell us the tone and tenor of your cooking show?
It's just like we're going for something that's kind of day in the life. It's not doing recipes. It's sort of like a lifestyle show. But the premise of it is that there's this like secret society of great food in the country.
Right.
It's not all in the city. Because all of our food comes from the country,
right.
And you think it's all this really bad food from like small towns that comes off the Cisco truck. But then if you go out of town and you go up these driveways, it's like people are raising their own animals and they're raising their – they got big gardens, and there's recipes that have come through the history of their family. And you eat the food and you're like, oh, this food's better than in the city.
Sure.
And so I don't think people know that. And that's
so are these individuals that you're just finding, like just your normal folk and not necessarily restaurants?
Not restaurant-based.
That's great.
Yeah. So, we're excited about that. And then he and I have another film in the can, too. So
wow. Anything about that that we can – anything you want to tease on that? Is that a thriller? Is it a drama?
Well, it was your first non-Minnesota shoot.
Okay. Yeah, we shot it in L.A.
Got it.
And
it was also co-directed by Wyatt and Megan.
Yep. So Megan and I are even more filmmaking team than usual on that one. But it's completely the diametric opposite of 3-Day Weekend, which has no dialogue.
You saved. And this is twice as much dialogue as a normal movie.
The premise of the next one is that it's a play. So it's two actors who live in Hollywood. They're down on their luck career-wise, and so they decide to put on a site-specific play in their apartment and at their work and at their jobs about their lives. And
got it.
So all they do is talk because they're actors.
Sure. And that's no been, that's in the can. It is. It's post-production actually, or it's, the whole
it's,
thing?
It's about done.
Wow. Wonderful. Congratulations.
Thanks.
I'm very fond of it, even if I just to step away and not have been a part of it, even like it's pretty cool.
Nice.
And what else are you working on right now, Justin, that we can follow you?
Yeah. Well, let's see. I'm on a show called Kidding with Jim Carrey on Showtime. And we just wrapped season two. That comes back in February. And then I'm going to do a little bit on a new version of Perry Mason. Do you remember the old Perry Mason?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's going to be on HBO.
Perry Mason is why I thought I wanted to be an attorney. And then I was like, this is not attorneying at all. Once I went to that, I would watch Perry Mason with my grandma and I'm like, I'm going to do that.
You know who else said that was, I think, Sonia Sotomayor. I haven't started, but I start my first day on that is in a couple weeks. They're already shooting. But it's actually sort of, you know, there have been many Perry Mason properties, books, and most people know the show, which was kind of the original Law and Order, the kind of the original procedural show. But this one is sort of an HBO version. Takes place when he's not a lawyer yet, Perry Mason. He's a...
It's on HBO. Are soldier there boobs? Isn't that what everything
I'm
about?
Sure there'll be boobs. Swearing and blood and all
exactly.
those things. Mostly my boobs.
Exactly.
A dragon.
A dragon or two.
Same old story.
Game of Thrones.
Well, we're really excited for that, and we appreciate both of you being on the show, and we hope that when you get your next properties available, we'll have you guys back on. And in the meantime, great. Wyatt, can you make us like something to eat real quick?
We are in the kitchen area. Yeah. You know what? Let's do it.
Okay. Jayden, tell everybody else what we can expect for the rest of the Twin Cities Film Fest.
Besides amazing content like 3-day weekend, our lounges banging every single night. Tonight is Purple Night. We're celebrating 35th anniversary screening of Purple Rain, so it'll be 80s music and Purple Rain.
Does that sound familiar to me? Purple Rain.
It's a brand new film that just came out. It's a world release, world premiere.
It's
so
going
you should
to
come
be
out.
Amazing. Yeah.
It's about this guy, Lake Minnetonka or something. But lounge is always a good time. And we have 3 days of amazing content still yet to come. So I'd encourage everybody to just stop by and just say hello. My job as an executive director is to have you come to one film and give you an amazing experience. And hopefully you then come back and then tell your friends. So that's all I really want.
And we are continuing going through this through the end of the week. And then reminding everybody that we do take a quick break. But there is content going on all year round with the Twin Cities Film Fest. So we encourage you to always go to our website. It's TwinCitiesFilmFest.org. If you have anything that you would like to hear us geek out about, you can always email us. It's BeOurGeek@gmail.com. And you can also find us on all the show socials. We're at BeOurGeekMN. So Jayden, are we cool?
We're good.
Wyatt, Justin, are we cool?
We are cool. Thank you so much for having us.
That was fun.
Thank you guys for being on the show. We appreciate it. And we will make sure that we see everybody back here next time because everyone is a geek about something.